speaks to you in Jesus' name this morning. Count it a privilege to be here. Maybe not quite so much a privilege to be here, but I want to serve as the serve the Lord wherever He leads. And so this morning I trust that God will have something for each one of us. I also bring greetings from the Salisbury congregation and an invitation to come visit us there. This morning we sang that song, that song that's on the back of the quarterly. We're trying to learn that at home too. And it's a song that I never had seen before. Has a tremendous message. And I think just take the time to read over it. And sometimes it's easier for me to get the real message in a song just reading over it than actually singing it, especially when you don't quite know the song. You're looking at the music more. But are we able? Christ asked the disciples, are you able to follow me? I can't remember the exact words there. Peter said, we are able. Little did he know exactly what all that meant, but his desire was right. And today, I think we need that desire, and God will give us the strength to follow him where he wants us to go. This morning, the title of my message is Great Faith. And Jesus used that term, great faith, or at least the Bible records it that way, that he used the term great faith. And what is great faith? What is it more than faith? Usually we think of great faith when someone showed in a special way that they had faith to perform whatever was there for them to do. We would say that Abraham had great faith. He showed that various times that he had great faith. Daniel would be another one, David. And many of the prophets showed that they had great faith. What is great faith? Is it a big basketful running over? Jesus said that faith is a grain of a mustard seed. It could move mountains. That's a pretty small seed. And so even a very little bit of faith went a long ways. So I think we can conclude that faith, the quality of our faith, is more important than the quantity of our faith. And when we have this great faith, it is going to cause us to do things. We're not going to sit and do nothing. When we have great faith, we're going to be busy about God's business. Great faith is a simple faith in a great God. And I think that is largely what makes it great, because of what our faith is in. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us speaks of a lot of people that had great faith. I'd like to read verse 1 and verse 6. And later we'll come back to Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11 verse 1 gives the definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's the substance of things hoped for. We hope for something, it's not here yet, and yet faith has it as if it was actually there. We can't see it. It's not really there, but it's as if it was there because of our faith. We have faith in God. We know that He is. And let's drop down to verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We have faith in God, and a lot of people would say that they believe in God. Seems like it's getting less and less, but do they really have faith in God? Do they really believe that he can perform what he said he would do? That he can, all the promises that we have in the Bible aren't just promises. They are, let me reword that. All the promises in the Bible aren't just nice words. They are promises of God. They aren't empty. God can perform them. And that's what it's saying here in verse 6. We must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He can perform what he has said. And so faith in God is believing that he is, and that whatever he leads us into, he can lead us through, because that is his promise, that he will do that. We live in a land and a time of ease, and maybe sometimes our faith isn't tested like some other people that face persecution, that face things that we know little or nothing of. saying just simply in our conversation could condemn us. We don't know anything about that. Not knowing who's a spy and who isn't. Would we have the faith to live in a situation like that? I trust that we would. I believe God could give us that strength. But it's possible to have many things, possible for us to have many things of which it took very little sacrifice on our part, or of which we haven't had to really work real hard for. We haven't, maybe we don't see the value of it like some people would. One thing that I was thinking of in terms of that is even the church, the congregation here. I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the congregation. Is it really, how much of a sacrifice is it for us to come to church Sunday morning? Probably not a terrible lot. Maybe sometimes I think it is. But how much did we really have to give up? How much would we maybe have to give up? If somebody realized that we were meeting and told the authorities and we were persecuted in one way or another because of that, it would be a little more of a, we would think a little more about coming to church. I believe we would still do it, but it would take more of a sacrifice in, of ourselves to be able to do that. I'd like to look at an account in Matthew 15. There was a woman here that showed great faith, and Jesus said that she had great faith. Matthew 15, we'll start reading at verse 21. And I'd like to take this account. The same account is also given in Mark 7. And I think I actually read both of these. They record it just slightly different. It's the same account recorded a little bit different and maybe gives us a little fuller picture of what actually happened here. We'll read the one in Matthew 15 first. Matthew 15, 21, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now let's go to Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 24. Mark 7:24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she sought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Here it indicates that he was trying to keep his presence kind of quiet. That he, I don't know exactly why he went through this town here. Was it a shorter way? I'm not exactly sure. I didn't look that up on a map where he would have been going and all that. But one reason or another, he went through this town and he stayed there. And this woman found out who he was. And came crying after him. And in Mark 7 there, it indicates that that's why he couldn't be kept, why he couldn't keep it quiet, was because of her. And so if we go in Matthew and see what the disciples said, the disciples wanted him to send her away. And disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. They realized that Christ was trying to not make himself real well known here, and it was impossible because this woman was crying after them. And so, send her away. And she kept on. Now, there's five things I'd like to bring out here about great faith that this woman showed. Lessons that we would like to draw from this account, and I'm sure this isn't all the lessons that we could draw here. But the first one is great faith leads to great undertakings. We're willing to do things that we wouldn't otherwise because of the faith that we have. This woman somehow knew and had heard of Jesus. She knew he was a Jew and that they had little to do socially with her people. And she was taking the risk here of being shamed by this Jew and also by her own people. Regardless of what her neighbors thought of her, you think about it, if there was a great person walking down the street and your neighbor came out and started crying after them, what would you think of you? Like, just be quiet, you know, don't make a big fuss here. What are you trying to do anyway? Maybe her daughter was wearing off on her a little bit. You know, she took that risk of being shamed by not only by these Jews that were passing through, but by her own people. And that could have lasted on for several days or longer. But she took that risk, having faith somehow that Jesus could heal her daughter. And how she had heard of him and what all she had heard, the Bible doesn't say. But she had heard enough that she had that faith. Matthew says she cried after him and followed him. Mark says she entered into the house and fell at his feet. And if we take the two together, I think that that's basically what happened. She followed after them, crying out to them, and then it was after that he was in the house that she fell at his feet. She had faith that this man could help her daughter, and it gave her the courage to go on. And I think today, our faith can give us courage. It's not just a fanciful thing that we think might be. Because of our faith, it's real. And we believe that it is real, and God honors that kind of faith, and so it is real. It's not, again, it's not a fairy tale. It's not something that just might be. how often do we give up? How often do I give up before God works because I don't want to look foolish or cheap, or I don't want to be labeled a fanatic. We just aren't quite willing to stick our neck out that far. We aren't quite willing to go all the way because of what someone else might think. How great is my faith? After all, if I have faith in God Almighty, then why should I be ashamed? He's the one that created us. He's the one that keeps the world and the universe in order, and He's the one that directs my life. Do I believe that? Maybe our faith is a little weak, and maybe that's why we're ashamed, because maybe it's hard for us to believe sometimes that God really does direct every aspect of our life. The Bible makes it clear that God is concerned about us. And I believe He does direct every aspect of our life. Things don't just happen in a Christian's life. It may seem that way kind of to us, but I believe as we are open to God's leading, it'll give us courage to act on these things that seem like they just happen in our life. Sometimes it does take courage to act on that. I know from experience, it's something that, well, how did that just happen? Well, it didn't just happen. Let's have the courage to see that and the faith to put it to work. Sometimes we talk about laying it all on the line, so to speak, but putting it all, laying everything we have on the line. We say that in feeling that we are definitely exposing ourselves to whatever may happen from there on. When she, as it were, laid it all on the line, I don't think she seen this as a gamble. If she would have been a gambler, the odds would have been far too great. She wouldn't have done it because there would have been way too much against her. She had her the shame of her countrymen against her. She had that the Jews didn't socially involve themselves with them against her. The chances of him even acknowledging her were against her. We know that it was Jesus, and so that changes it. But and naturally thinking, the odds would have been way too great. How often do I say, I'll try it, but? We go through life just not really quite willing to give ourselves all up because we need something to fall back on. We need a backup plan. And a lot of times when we're talking in business or whatever, it's good to have a backup plan. But when we're following Christ, forget the backup plan. We don't need it, because He's going to be there when we step out. What if Abraham or Joshua or David or Elisha or Elijah would have taken that attitude that we'll follow him, but we want to keep a little bit to ourselves. We want to make sure that we don't look too foolish, or we want to make sure that we have a way to at least save some of our self-respect if this goes wrong. What if they would have said that? I think they had full faith in God. When it comes to faith in God, laying all on the line is not a gamble. It's an investment in a bank that will never go bad. Or we could say, instead of laying all on the line, we could say putting our future in God's hands. And you know, finally, that's what it comes down to. Realizing that our future is in God's hands and being comfortable with that. It's not a real comfortable situation all the time, for humanly speaking. We aren't sure what's ahead, and we kind of our flesh wants to hold back. But finally, great faith will give us the courage to undertake to go ahead on what God is leading us into. Number two, great faith begets great expectations. Great faith begets great expectations. You know, when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, when he put him there on the altar, it was, I believe it's in Hebrews, it says that he was as good as dead in Abraham's eyes. In Abraham's mind, he had already done it. It wasn't, he didn't save a backup plan. He had went all the way already in his mind. And says that he was as good as dead, but he believed that God could even bring him back to life. And we know that God stopped him there before he did that. And he had a backup plan for Abraham. He had a ram caught there in the bushes. He didn't leave himself a way out. He went, in his mind, it was already done. I believe this woman expected Christ to heal her daughter. I don't think she would have went as far as she did. I don't think she would have been as persistent as she was if she didn't believe that he would, or at least that he could. But I think she believed this man to be someone different than just a regular man, and that she had put her faith there, and I think she believed that he would do it. And she did it, not knowing what all she might have to endure. You know, sometimes God calls us into something, calls us maybe to teach school. God calls some of us to the ministry. God calls some of us to move to another place. And it looks pretty scary. We wonder what he had in mind calling me. We have no idea what we might have to endure. We have no idea what tests may come our way. And sometimes some of the hardest tests are the ones we least expected. Sometimes maybe the hardest tests are the ones that we thought, in areas where we kind of thought we had it covered. Maybe that's why it is a harder test, because we had some pride there. Or at least a little too confident of ourselves. She persisted in following and asking for this favor here, not knowing what all he may say or do, not knowing what all she might have to endure to get there. She gave herself to this endeavor. Do we sometimes use the phrase "according to your will" as a way to back out? Well, we don't quite know if we have the faith to really believe that. I believe we should use that phrase, according to your will. Christ did that, and I believe it's an example for us. But let's not use it as a cover for doubt. Maybe I'm exposing myself. It's kind of personal whether we do that or not. And I think I probably have use that as a cover for doubt. Let's expect it to happen. I think that's important. Faith isn't an experiment in stepping out on facts we can't see. An experiment is something that we try not knowing how it's going to work. Faith takes the not knowing. Okay, we don't know how all the instances are going to work out, but we know that stepping out in faith is going to work. I've seen it illustrated already as stepping out on a cloud, and we know a cloud really doesn't hold us. But sometimes there's no cloud. We can't see anything. There's not even a cloud there. We just need to step out. It's hard to do. It's something our flesh recoils from. It's something we don't like. It's something out of our comfort zone. Can we see it as not an experiment, but as simply stepping out in faith? They tell me they have added a glass box on the side of the Sears Tower. And I've talked to some people that have been there to see that. And well, my dad was one of them, and he couldn't step out on that, out in there. It's at least 1,000 feet above the ground, and it's just not natural to step out where you can see all the way to the ground. Maybe not having faith in the builders of that, not having faith in that glass being strong enough, but can we just step out? If we think about that a little bit, being 1,000 feet or more off the ground and stepping onto a sheet of glass that is supposed to be strong enough to hold you, and it is, I believe. But can we think of faith a little bit as that? And no, our flesh recoils from that. Some people are better at that than others, just believing that it'll hold them. But finally, it's not an experiment whether faith will hold us. It's a fact that God's faith will hold us. Do we have that kind of faith? Great faith. Great faith. I believe this woman had great faith. And she was here stepping out into the unknown. Number three, great faith awakens great earnestness. And when we are earnest about something, that's the foremost thing in our mind. And we are earnest about getting a certain job done, or it's time to do it. There's nothing else more important than this right now. This is the most important thing, and we strive for that. First of all, she cried after him. She followed after him, and then she fell at his feet. And she did this with him giving her very little reason to keep on. She cried after him. He didn't answer her at all. She followed after him. He didn't answer. He didn't. If anything, she was maybe even pushed away. Then when he did answer, it wasn't something that would encourage you to keep on following, but that's when she came and fell at his feet. I believe she was very in earnest about getting his attention, and I don't think she thought about showing her faith, but that's what she was doing by her actions. If she had simply been following a famous person, she would have been slighted and turned back. You know, if they don't care any more that about me, then I'm not going to keep on following. Celebrities, as they pass through crowds that are wanting to get near to them, possibly touch them, or even get within so many feet of them or whatever, they're waving to them, giving them encouragement in what they're doing. But that wasn't the case here. What did Jesus say to her? He said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he said this after the disciples asked him to send her away. Did she hear that? I think she probably did. She probably realized that disciples were at least very uncomfortable with her being there, and would have liked her to just be quiet. And then Jesus says this, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she was not part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she knew that. But then she went and fell at his feet. Earnest, very earnest about what she was doing. This wasn't just something she was experimenting with. This was very dear to her heart. This meant a lot to her. And I think she had her daughter in mind more than herself. She wasn't thinking about her own self maybe being shamed. She wasn't thinking about this going down for centuries later and us reading about it today. She wasn't thinking about that. Her becoming possibly something of a hero even. That wasn't on her mind, her daughter's. her daughter's well-being was on her mind. And I think that gives us courage today too, when we put ourselves aside. All the examples we see were examples of great faith. The person didn't really care so much about themselves. It was something else that they were concerned about, something else outside of themselves that they were working for, that they were really concerned about, they were concerned about someone else's well-being. Great faith conquers great difficulties because of its great earnestness. The number four, the fourth point I have here is great faith conquers great difficulties. She had difficulties to overcome. Today we have difficulties to overcome. One of the greatest difficulties that we need to overcome is ourselves. And I've brought that out time and again already, but ourselves. Ourself just gets in the way so often. First he didn't answer at all. Then he said he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then he said, "It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And what was her answer? "Truth, Lord." She acknowledged that. She realized that he was sent to the house of Israel. And yet she had faith that he was... I don't know what all she understood here. How much being a Greek, it says, called her a Syrophoenician. I don't know how much she knew about the scriptures. Apparently something about them, or she wouldn't have even known about him. But she was willing to, her faith conquered these great difficulties. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul here also faced great difficulties and overcame them, and his faith went beyond those difficulties. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul, we know that he went through many difficulties. Many times people didn't like what he said, and then his trip to Rome was fraught with many perils and difficult things. And he's talking about the gospel here just before this. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." He suffered these things for the gospel's sake. And are we willing to do that to spread the gospel? Are we willing to suffer many things? Is our faith great enough to carry us through that? "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." His faith was in God Almighty. And I'm persuaded that he is able. He is not only God, but he believed that God was and that he was a rewarder. It says that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How quick do I become discouraged? Number five, great faith achieves great victories. Finally, this woman's persistence paid off. And the verse 28, Matthew 15, verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Victory. Her faith had come through. And I believe this is an experience in her life that she never forgot. And it helped her on to greater faith, I believe. We don't have anything else recorded of her. But I can't believe that a person that experienced something like this just went off and forgot it. I think that it's something that she remembered, and it strengthened her faith, even though she already had great faith. the faithful will be rewarded. Our faith will be rewarded. Maybe not always, we may not see that altogether in this life, but God will reward the faithful. And one day we hope, and it's a lively hope, it's a hope that's sure, that we can experience eternal life with Him in heaven. It's something that we are sure of. The Bible calls it a lively hope. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, and I'd like to read the end of that chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to start at verse 30 and read through the end of the chapter. God has helped many people in many ways. God has helped the faithful in many ways and over many years. He has, and these last verses here bring that out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Here it talks of especially verse 36 to 38. We don't exactly see that as rewarding. We wouldn't call that a reward for our faith, maybe. But it says in verse 35, it says, and others being tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Not always are we going to see the reward for our faith in this life. There are many, many that have stood true in the test and have been killed because of their faith. And yet, I think they've seen it as a reward. Not necessarily the dying part as a reward, but what they received thereafter. And it gave them courage to go on. Today, we can get courage looking back at those that have died for their faith and realizing that it is worth it, that God does reward those. He rewarded them with strength to remain strong and true, even when they were being tortured. And He also rewarded them with eternal life. Now let's go on to chapter 12. I'd like to read the first three verses in chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Today we face these things and sometimes we become wearied and faint in our minds. Sometimes we become discouraged or we're tempted to be discouraged. What does it say here in verse 3? It says, for consider Him. We have a perfect example to look to. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. none of us have faced anything close to what Christ faced before he went to the cross. And yet as we think about that and consider that and look at what he faced for us, it helps us to be strong. It helps us to not be wearied and faint in our minds, realizing what he went through for us and how little we are giving for him. Sometimes as we think of that, we can almost wonder why we are not called to give more. As life unfolds before us, that may happen. We may be called to endure persecution. It says here, contradiction of sinners against himself. And I think we could see it as persecution, but today sometimes we do find ourselves in situations that are hard. It's not easy to speak of Christ sometimes when we really feel like we should, because of who's there, or maybe it's a customer and we don't want to mess up this contact that we have, this business contact that we have. Those temptations are real. Even though sitting here this morning it seems trivial that we would think of not speaking of Christ because of maybe losing some work, but I know that that temptation can be real. And I know too that I've failed sometimes when that temptation came. Let's think about what Christ has done for us and give our all. Give ourselves completely up. Only a humble person can have great faith. And let's realize that it's not just about us. There's others that need help, and there's others that we are here to serve. And if we have a true servant's heart, then I think that's the only way that we can have this great faith. Looking again at Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. Great faith. This great faith is no gamble. Am I willing to step out, even when there is no cloud to step onto, even when there's nothing there? Am I willing to step out in faith and beseech God for his tender mercies, not only to ourselves, but to others? And when God calls us to something that we simply can't see the way, we can't even see where we're putting our foot down, knowing that he's there for us, knowing that when we take the next step, we're not quite sure where that's going to even end up. Sometimes the way is pretty dark before us, but we know that God is there. And if he's leading us this way, then for sure, surely he is there. was it Joshua that said that if you don't lead us, or was it Moses, I forget which one it was, that if you don't lead us, then we don't even want to go. And I think that's how we feel as Christians. We go through life and we realize that life is just too scary without God. And we need him. And that faith in him is what we need to be able to step out. So this morning, let's have that faith to step out and in humility realize that God will be there, and he cares enough about us to be there. And when we step out, there will be something there to step onto. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?